Live from the CBS studios in San Francisco, I'm Brian Hackney.
And I'm Andrea Nakano. The past week has included so many tragic stories across the country. Protests have been sparked nationwide after the release of the body cam video showing police beating a man to death in Memphis, Tennessee.
And closer to home, it's only been a week since a gunman murdered 11 people at a dance studio in Southern California, the first of four mass shootings in our state in just the past 7 days. The violent start to the year has some communities on edge. John Ramos checked in with people today at the Bayview Black History Month and Lunar New Year celebration in San Francisco.
This event in San Francisco's Bayview District was designed to bring two communities together who don't always see eye to eye. Bayview Hunters Point is San Francisco's most concentrated African American neighborhood, so you might be surprised by the entertainment they had at the kickoff to Black History Month. A traditional Chinese lion dance. Welcome to the 13th annual Black History and Lunar New Year Festival. The local YMCA began hosting the event in 2010 after tensions were running high between African Americans and Asians following a high-profile crime incident.
We needed to do something to bridge the gap between the Black African American and Asian community.
The program combined performing arts from both cultures. African American residents were treated to a display of traditional Chinese Tai Chi, and Asian guests experienced music and dance from the Black community.
We used this opportunity to really uplift each other's cultural history so we can really come together and build community and build trust.
That trust is needed more than ever as both groups reel from recent tragedies. The mass shootings in Monterey Park and Half Moon Bay have reignited the fear Asian people suffered after a rash of anti-Asian violence in 2021. And now the Black community is once again dealing with the death of another young man at the hands of police, this time in Memphis.
All this rift or differences is very, it's a reality, but then it's also, there's a lot of perceptions.
Eddie Zhang helped found the joint celebration as a way to focus on positive cultural differences rather than just the negative ones.
The fear is still here, so people are afraid to go out to really to go to big events. Yeah. So then the fact that people are here today is a testament of people saying that we want to take power. We don't want fear and violence to be the driving force for us, and we want to focus on love and we want to focus on racial solidarity.
The thought here was that if reconciliation is to occur, it will come from the young people.
Events like this can show that Black Africans, we're open to all communities.
Are things still kind of tense between the two communities?
Yeah.
What do you think can change that?
By both of the communities coming together and making peace.
Their cultural differences are real, but both groups have suffered violence and injustice throughout their histories. Perhaps that shared struggle can be a place where they can find common ground.
The program ended with members of the Chinese community inviting African American residents to join them at the Lunar New Year parade next Saturday.
Seven people were shot overnight just outside of Beverly Hills. Three people were killed and four were injured. It happened at a multi-million dollar vacation rental. Police are still looking for the suspect. This is the sixth mass shooting this month in California. Our state has the strictest gun laws in the country, but are they enough to stop mass killings? Devin Feely spoke with advocates and gun violence survivors.
We need a strong assault weapon ban across the country.
Ruth Borenstein is a legislation chair for Brady, California. She says a patchwork of lax state laws weakens the effectiveness of the tough gun control measures California has enacted.
We're one state among many. We can't do it alone. And if somebody can just cross the border and bring back a whole host of things that aren't legal here, we can't stop it.
With three mass shootings in California in the span of a single week, it does beg the question, what's going on and what can be done to stop it?
Every time there's any kind of a mass shooting, it's horrible.
Alan Hinman survived the 1993 mass shooting at 101 California Street in San Francisco. His activism is an outgrowth of that experience, and he believes that tough gun laws can be a deterrent.
We need to make punishment for using these weapons in any kind of a crime so strong that You just don't want to go there.
The sad and sobering reality many gun control advocates say is in the absence of strong federal nationwide laws, we will continue to be vulnerable to the tragic shootings that have plagued the state this past week.
And we're still learning more about the shootings in Half Moon Bay. San Mateo County DA confirms the suspect said the shooting stemmed from his anger over a $100 equipment bill. In an interview with NBC News, Shunli Zhao said that a forklift that he was operating was hit by a coworker on a bulldozer and that he was asked to pay $100 for the damage. He said that he vented his frustration over the bill and began shooting.
A vigil in Half Moon Bay last night honored the lives of the seven people killed on Monday. Hundreds of people gathered in downtown to grieve, pray, sing songs, and support each other through a difficult week of gun violence.
We've all been kind of suffering on our own, and we're a close community here, and this is just really important.
Local leaders of the community took the stage offering condolences and advocating for change. And victims' family members shared stories about their loved ones, some through the help of an interpreter.
He was 50 years old, and he was a very likable person, friendly with all. One of his greatest qualities is that he liked to help people.
On Tuesday, the city will hold an interfaith service at the town's event center. The city says all are welcome.
We're also getting a look at where the farm workers lived, including the gunman. San Mateo County Supervisor Ray Mueller released these pictures. He said that they were from one of the farms, although he didn't specify which one, and that's the inside. That's the picture of a shed where the supervisor says the suspect lived. Governor's office says Cal OSHA is now investigating the two farms involved. Stay with CBS News Bay Area for continuing coverage of the recent mass shooting investigations. We'll bring you the latest on air and online.
A new lawsuit is challenging Governor Newsom's CARE Court plan. CARE Court, an acronym for Community Assistance, Recovery, and Empowerment, is the governor's plan to give people with severe mental illnesses the services they need. But now some disability and civil rights advocates argue the new court system could violate due process and equal protection rights. A spokesperson for the governor's office had this response, quote, eight communities are preparing to launch this new process this year, and blocking those efforts would needlessly extend the suffering of those who desperately need our help.
Time now for a live look at San Francisco from the Treasure Island cam. We started the year with that wave of storms. Since then, not much.
But now more rain is on the way. Let's get right to our first alert meteorologist, Darren Peck. Darren?
And we're going to stay on the theme of, but not much. It's coming in tomorrow, and there'll be a few light showers. The bigger impact is that it's going to get cold and windy. But since it is rain, let me just show you what this will look like on the futurecast. You can see the system right there coming our way from the north. And this is going to be far and few between, but there are spotty showers here from tomorrow morning into the afternoon. They start to get a little better in the afternoon and more focused on the South Bay, which is a little unique for us. But nobody gets a lot of rain from this. I just don't want you to be caught off guard or surprised. When you do get some light showers tomorrow, it's a couple hundredths of an inch. The bigger deal, the wind. So there's a wind advisory from this, and we could see gusts to 50 miles an hour in the North Bay Mountains. That's strong enough. We're going to have more downed trees. And the time frame to be aware of is from tomorrow afternoon through Monday afternoon, that 24-hour window. These winds will be strong enough to take more trees down. That could mean more localized power outages. It could also just mean the risks of downed trees. So you want to be real aware of your surroundings. I'll be back with the rest of this storm because there are a couple other things to talk about. It's about to get real cold. See you then in a few minutes, guys. Back to you.
All right, Darren, we'll see you then in a special Saturday session. The Concord City Council narrowly rejected the latest term sheet to developing the former naval weapons station. The vote was 3-2. The current development group's exclusive negotiating window will expire in 3 days, meaning the city will be able to hear proposals from other developers. About half of the more than 5,000 acres of land has already been set aside for a new regional park.
Justice, not profits, is the approach being used by a new marijuana dispensary in San Francisco's Soma neighborhood. Stuyze Soma's grand opening had a ribbon-cutting ceremony today, drew a lot of folks. Grassroots organization United Players opened the store as a tool for building up the community. Rudy Corpus grew up among gang violence in Soma, and he says the war on drugs wrongfully incarcerated people, but now the proceeds will go to restorative justice and to families who lost loved ones.
And so this right here is a victory for every hood all over the Bay Area, right, from L.A. to the Bay that was affected by the war on drugs.
District 6 Supervisor Matt Dorsey came out in support, said it's a victory in the push for equity. Oh, how calm it looks now, but just a few weeks ago, people in San Mateo County were hit but good by the storms, and folks there who are impacted by them can get federal aid from FEMA. County leaders say that storm victims in San Mateo County can now apply directly to the feds for any help. Just go to the website, disasterassistance.gov. And along the Big Sur coastline, this happened during the New Year's Day floods of 1997. Big Sur coastline was shut down by slides, and CHP helicopters had to carry groceries, meds, and other supplies to people cut off by the storms, and it's a repeat performance this time. The road has been cut off, Highway 1 down there. That means that it's blocking part of the road. Caltrans says it could be another month or so before Highway 1 reopens.
SFO transformed into what looked like a tailgate party just in time for the NFC Championship game. That's the Niner Noise drum line, and it was quite a party in the terminal. United Airlines put on the pep rally as the official airlines of the 49ers. They brought in Sourdough Sam along with the Gold Rush cheerleaders, and a big crowd gathered to enjoy it. The 49ers and Eagles kick off in less than 18 hours with the winner moving on to the Super Bowl.
And Vern Glenn can't wait. He went straight to the stadium after arriving in Philadelphia this afternoon.
Hello from Lincoln Financial Field, site of the NFC Championship game. San Francisco will be looking to silence 69,000 Eagles fans. At least one 49er knows what that feels like in the postseason.
The Eagles have defeated the Buccaneers four in a row, but it's the Bucs today.
General Manager John Lynch was part of the 2002 Bucs that beat the Eagles in the last game ever at Old Veterans Stadium.
It was awesome to watch. It was a little bit boring because they had 33 runs for 45 yards.
Kyle Shanahan is hoping for the same outcome tomorrow. He showed the team clips from that game. And even 20 years later, it got Lynch fired up.
He came into my office right before when I was going through it to get prepared to show the team, and he was sat down and enjoyed watching it for about 10 seconds, and he got up and was pacing the room, and he didn't even realize. I'm like, what's going on with you right now? And he's like, why? What do you mean? I'm like, he goes, oh, yeah, this brings back some feelings.
Trent Williams knows better than anybody what to expect as a visiting player at the Link. He came here for 9 straight seasons with Washington.
When you walk into there, you know, they let you know that you're not welcome. Philly is just one of those places where they make a difference. They get under your skin, you know, they yell at you, they don't stop.
But after my flight this morning, I can confirm it won't be all green in the stands tomorrow.
Big Burn.
All right.
Niner gang, man.
Playoff popcorn, 2 rounds already. Got enough for this one, the Super Bowl.
That's going to do it from Philadelphia.
People have taken to the streets this weekend to protest the death of Tyree Nichols. The 29-year-old died in the hospital after being beaten by Memphis police. Yesterday, officials released the body cam footage of that fatal traffic stop.
We've edited the video, but we want to warn you, it is disturbing. CBS News' Skylar Henry reports from Memphis.
In Memphis, leaders praised the community's response to the disturbing police video showing the brutal beating of Tyree Nichols during a traffic stop.
Memphis, Tennessee honored the memory of young Tyree Nichols with peaceful protests.
In the body cam footage released Friday night, officers are seen holding Nichols down and repeatedly hitting him with their fists, boots, and batons. During Nichols' arrest for suspicion of reckless driving, officers chased him and at one point left him propped against a squad car with severe injuries. 5 officers were fired. On Thursday, they were charged with second-degree murder and other crimes in Nichols' death, 3 days after the January 7th beating.
The citizens of Memphis and Shelby County deserve to know the whole story as soon as possible.
On Saturday, the Memphis Police Department announced it's disbanding the so-called Scorpion crime-fighting unit the officers were a part of.
No justice! No peace!
Here in Memphis, residents are holding demonstrations while protesters also took to the streets in major cities across the country. Meanwhile, newly surfaced video from 2018 shows Nichols being interviewed while in line at the DMV in Sacramento, California.
The Memphis Police Director says other officers within the department are now also under investigation. Two have been placed on leave without pay. Loved ones of Tyre Nichols remember him for his smile, warmth, and wit. Before moving to Memphis, Nichols lived in Sacramento, where he spent a lot of time at a skate park in the area. Curtis and Peggy Chapman say they let their son walk to the park as long as they knew Nichols was there.
He had this very amazing smile and very joyful. Like, he never had cliques. He just kind of loved everybody.
It's just sad. He was kind, and I think the other thing is, you know, our son was young at that time. There was a large age gap between those two, but the fact that Tyree would take the time to spend time with younger kids, and he just was likable and sweet.
Nichols moved from Sacramento to Memphis just before the pandemic and got stuck, but was fine with it because he was with his mother and they were extremely close. In Tracy, a 17-year-old suspect armed with a knife was shot by police yesterday afternoon. He's recovering in the hospital and is expected to survive. This happened in a residential neighborhood. Neighbors say the teen was chasing another person with a knife, and an officer opened fire when the suspect failed to drop the weapon and began to approach an officer.
Well, Friday we got our first look at police body cam video that captured the attack on Paul Pelosi. He's the husband of former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. We've edited some of the video, but it remains disturbing. The attack happened back in October at the Pelosi's Pacific Heights home. Surveillance video shows David DePap examining the back of the home before he smashed his way through a glass door. Moments later came the 911 call from Paul Pelosi. Listen.
This is San Francisco Police. Do you need help?
Oh, well, there's a gentleman here just waiting for my wife to come back. Nancy Pelosi.
Drew? I don't know. David DePap.
What's that?
My name's David.
The name is David.
Okay, and who is David?
I don't know. What's that?
I'm a friend of theirs.
Several minutes later, two officers arrive at the home, knock on the door, and here's what happened next.
Hi. Hey, how you doing?
How are you?
What's going on, man?
Everything's good.
Hi. Hi. Drop the hammer.
Nope.
Hey.
What is going on right now?
I'm not getting an answer on call.
Gee, body cam video ends with officers arresting the intruder and calling for medical help. DePap's public defender blasted the video release, saying it's, quote, a terrible mistake that jeopardizes the possibility of a fair trial. The release was also opposed by the district attorney's office. The former House Speaker said that she has not seen the video and she has no intention of ever watching it. So here's where the case stands against David DePap. He has pleaded not guilty to six charges, including attempted murder and first-degree residential burglary. He is due back in court February 23rd. He's also pleaded not guilty to federal charges. And for complete coverage of the attack on Paul Pelosi, including full transcripts of the 911 call, head to CBSSF.com.
Experience for the faithful at Dick's Sporting Goods in Daly City. Former star running back for the 49ers Super Bowl champion Ricky Waters was there chatting with fans and signing autographs.
I stumbled in to get sweatpants, but look what I came out with, even better. Thank you. He's so amazing. I'm like starstruck right now. I still don't know what to say.
He's way better than sweatpants. A local DJ, photo booth, and food added up to a full-on pep rally, building excitement ahead of the big game tomorrow. Plenty of people enjoying this Lunar New Year celebration at San Mateo's Hillsdale Shopping Center. Lots to see, a 50-foot dragon, lion dancers, acrobatic performances, even fortune-telling and gift giveaways. The free event continues tomorrow starting at 1 o'clock.
Well, you remember during all the rain that the Oakland Zoo had to shut down because the entrance was washed out. Well, they've been busy fixing that, putting a culvert underneath the entrance, and the workers are beginning to wrap it up. And so as they get closer to finish the damage, the repairs out there, the Oakland Zoo is going to announce soon when reopening day will be. So at least they're making progress after all that rain. Thanks for watching. We'll see you back here at 11 tonight.
Until then, the news continues streaming on CBS News Bay Area. Good night.